This is the Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri.
This week, we hear from Dr. Noni Lasseau, Associate Professor of Human Development and Urban Education Advancement at Harvard Graduate School of Education. She does research involving vocabulary intervention for linguistically diverse students. Welcome, Dr. Lasseau.
Thank you very much.
We're glad to have you with us. Tell us about yourself and how you got interested in linguistically diverse students and vocabulary intervention.
Thanks. I have a background in child psychology and with an application to the school setting and a focus on language and reading development. And during grad school, which was in Vancouver, British Columbia, you can imagine that it's a city that had been almost transformed by immigration. At the time, late 90s, we had over 30 native languages in the school district. And many of our referrals, many of the referrals that I took in my internship and after when I was out working were from teachers and practitioners who had questions about second language learning. Is this a reading problem? Is this typical for second language learners? How do we identify a reading disability in for a second language learner? What does this mean for intervention when a child is not fully proficient in the language of instruction? And that really took me to my doctorate, to questions about how reading develops and now how we intervene effectively as clinicians and teachers.
Yeah, in your article you talk about how vocabulary and reading comprehension are thought to be reciprocal. Can you talk about that a little bit?
That's right. The more words one brings to the reading that they're doing, the more they're likely to be able to learn from that text. So if I know 80 or 90% of the words on the page, I'm very likely to be able to learn those 10% that I don't know. And if I learn those words, I become a better comprehender, and so the cycle begins.
Now, I would think that that students who are bilingual, multilingual, may have an advantage in learning vocabulary because they're having to learn vocabulary in multiple languages.
I think that's right. You know, we see a metalinguistic advantage under really good instructional circumstances, and when we don't, and when we have samples and populations that are diverse, we find that, in fact, it should be an advantage. But it means that we have to support them to exploit that advantage. We have to be very deliberate and high quality in our language instruction in order for them to really exploit that advantage.
Now, in the article that we're discussing today, you implemented a vocabulary intervention program I believe you call ALIAS. Can you describe that for us a little bit?
Yeah, we developed the program as a 20-week program for the upper elementary and middle school classroom to increase talk in the classroom, increase kids' understanding of how words work and how language works, to engage our adolescents who need more support to learn words and become better reading comprehenders. And it was really developed with those goals in mind.
And now that you've done this study and you implemented this program, and I believe you found a range of success and some things that were, you know, indicating potential success. In the end, what would you, based on your expertise, what would you tell teachers about vocabulary and linguistically diverse students?
I think for what we learned more than anything is we've got to do this work when it's, we've got to anchor this teaching in really big ideas and good, rich content. But most of our kids have really good communication skills day-to-day, basic communication. But what they really need, what we really need to do is create learning environments that are really rich with big ideas and abstract concepts if we're going to take our kids to that next level.
So can you give me an example? What's a big idea? What's a rich context?
Sure. In our curriculum, in our intervention program, we took magazine articles that featured a hot topic. So, for example, One of the articles out of Time Magazine for Kids asked the question, should boys and girls be separated at school?
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh.
The big idea there is actually segregation, right? But it met the kids where they're at. It took the notion of segregation into their world.
Mm-hmm.
It gave us a platform for the big idea of segregation, for the idea of policies and gender equity, for example.
Hmm.
In having those discussions.
So they had some buy-in to learn the vocabulary that was involved.
That's right. And the rich content and big idea makes for a really authentic way to learn that vocabulary rather than starting with a word list.
What do you tell parents of linguistically diverse students?
We talk to parents a lot about talking at home and playing with words.
Mm-hmm.
And in our case, our advice is typically to use the native language because we know that the quality and the quantity of language is going to be greater in the native language.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And those who lead a school, the principals who are trying to translate policy into practice and provide curriculum leadership, what do you tell them?
We talk to them a lot about an aligned system, a system of literacy instruction that moves beyond grade by grade and goes, you know, K-12 or 6 to 8. We think a lot about exposing kids to the same types of instructional experiences from year to year, provide that kind of structure and repetition that they need while still increasing, of course, the rigor as they move forward.
So they might be familiar with the vocabulary process, but the vocabulary words change themselves.
That's right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that we can't think of something as big as learning vocabulary, and especially academic vocabulary, as something you do in sixth grade. We need to think about it as something, you know, you start to become better at learning words in fifth and sixth grade and move up through the eighth grade.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now, is vocabulary not being taught at these grades? I mean, I would think this would be something that the science teacher covers vocabulary, the, you know.
Surprisingly not, unfortunately. We find that maybe about 10% of instruction supports vocabulary development, but it tends to be incidental. It's not planned ahead of time. We just stumbled across a word. I'm going to tell you what it means, and I'm going to keep moving along.
We
haven't necessarily carved out the time for vocabulary work in the upper elementary and middle school years.
Yeah. So what does all this mean for policymakers?
It really reinforces the notion of literacy as a pre-K to 12. We need content-based literacy. Literacy is not a K-3 exercise.
Yeah, right. Right.
If kids are going to access textbooks, they need support to do that well.
Mm-hmm. And where do we go next? What research are you going to do on this next? What do we still need to know about vocabulary intervention in linguistically diverse students?
We need to start comparing different ways to do it. So right now, most of our work compares one strategy to business as usual.
Hmm.
What we need to start doing is coming up with different ways to get to the same end and see if we can become even more sophisticated in how to do it.
But there's a lot of research out there that says it's really the teacher that makes a difference, not just the method.
Yeah, and I think the other thing I was going to mention is a lot of our research now, after that study has ended, is on what made a difference for teachers and how the professional development mattered, the way in which they used the coach that supported this implementation, all of that, because we really rarely focus on the teacher when we do intervention research.
Yeah, and it's all part of the context, isn't it?
That's right.
Dr. Noni Lasso from Harvard Graduate School of Education, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
You can find Dr. Lasso's research in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 45, Issue 2. This podcast is now available from iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Lasso. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.